the underrated Super Bowl contender that nobody is talking about. We're talking about it today on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome in. Pearl, I know you love this team. I know you think that they are just a, I don't know, we overuse the term rocket ship now, but you think they are a runaway train. Put it that way.
No, I think they have the potential. They fit the formula of a breakout major contender.
Okay.
Young quarter. I mean, most Super Bowls in the last 20 years have had a quarterback on a rookie deal. At least one of the two quarterbacks is a quarterback. The Chiefs are screwing that up a bit. But that is an attractive situation to me. And have we said the team yet?
No, go ahead. I'm waiting for you to do the big reveal.
The Houston Texans are not paying CJ Stroud yet. Mm-hmm. They will have to soon.
After this year, probably.
And they have been able to load up around him. And that has been the formula. So I don't see why you wouldn't have them as a real Super Bowl contender, because the defense is stacked.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a Super Bowl contender?
No.
Okay. They have the same odds as the Texans to not only win the conference, but also to win the Super Bowl. So,
Where are you seeing that?
I'm seeing it right here on DraftKings. Conference winner, Steelers plus 1,600, Texans plus 1,600, and then go to Super Bowl. I'm looking at Steelers plus 3,500 and Texans plus 3,500. Mm. So, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I love the Texans, and you're right. They do fit a formula, no doubt. They also have a great, great defense. And so you love that, because defenses travel is always the cliche. Stroud is legit. You know, if their receivers could all stay healthy, I think that would be huge, but that hasn't been able to happen yet. They win these first round matchups when they're at home in the playoffs, and then they have to go on the road, and it's a different story. And I would like to believe they fit that formula, but the Vegas odds, which I know you put a lot of stock into, they would tell you that they are not a Super Bowl contender. Playoffs, sure, but not yet in that tier.
By the way, it's really funny, because I was literally looking at FanDuel, where the Texans are 25-1 and the Steelers are 45-1. Hmm. And then on DraftKings, they're both 35-1. But most
pick
books...
Pick your sports book.
Most books, the Texans are way ahead of the Steelers here. So anyway, regardless of the odds, I just think this... Obviously, the Texans have that formula and the Steelers do not. Also, the Texans, when you look at their depth chart, they just... Explain to me how you're going to block all these guys. That's what I look at them. And I think of the great Niners defenses under D'Amico Ryans, with Nick Bosa leading the way. I feel like you have a problem. We saw it in the playoffs against Justin Herbert. If they can somehow get a lead, like it could be lights out against this team. Now, I think they're going to be much better this year. But addition by subtraction, they got rid of offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, who refused to pass on early downs. Just destroyed their defense. They were destroyed their offense. Was so frustrating to watch. Also, had something wrong with his blocking schemes, and CJ Stroud seemed to be under pressure way too much, even in non-obvious pass situations. So I think they're going to immediately get better offensively, and then, again, the formula, get a lead and just unleash that defense.
So one other thing that is a little, I don't say concerning for the Texans, but, you know, because it really depends, how do you see the rest of the division? Do you think that the Jags are really going to be as bad as they have been?
Yes.
And do you think that, Tennessee obviously is a work in progress, and so is Indy. But if you are fighting actually with Jacksonville to win the division and maybe not host that first round matchup, then I think that's an issue also for the Texans, because, again, they've been a good home team in the playoffs, but obviously have not been able to win on the road. And, you know, you always joke around about my Buffalo Bills. Well, they've got this red carpet to the playoffs because no one else in the division is putting up much resistance. And I would say the same thing about Houston, because Jacksonville has been such a mess. But I'm expecting that Jacksonville is going to be a bit better this year if Trevor Lawrence is healthy. The schedule here for Houston is hard. I mean, this is what happens when you consistently are coming in first place in your division, and then all of a sudden you draw the NFC West, you know, or it's just, you know, this is going to be a tougher assignment because of how the schedule shakes out this year.
Okay, it's funny. Why do you think the Jags are going to be the threat? I feel like the Colts will probably be better than the Jags. The Colts trip into an 8-9 season every year. Like, the Jags, I'm not seeing this. You think Liam Cohen is going to be the solution?
I think they actually have drafted well lately. I think the Brian Thomas draft was that draft pick has been great. If Trevor Lawrence is healthy, I want to see what Travis Hunter is going to do. The Jags can't pick a coach to save their life. I mean, clearly that's an issue. So I can't say that Liam Cohen's going to be any good.
I think
it's a big question mark. D'Amico Ryan certainly has him in that conversation. until further notice. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN. Are the Houston Texans wrongly being ignored as a Super Bowl contender? EJ, you look like you want to weigh in on this convo.
I mean, again, I just think that what happened last year, I think, made people kind of forget about the Texans this year. Like, last year, the Texans were seen as the hot team to win the Super Bowl, right? Everyone was picking them. We weren't picking the Chiefs.
This year's Commanders.
Yeah, this year's the Commanders because of what we saw from, last year, Jaden Daniels' rookie year, and the year before that, it was CJ Stroud's rookie year. And then they had that slump. They didn't protect well. The offensive line had issues, and the coordinator was a disaster, Bobby Slowick. I think if we think about how they're projected, you have a team that won another playoff game. They have more experience. They are being just completely ignored in this conversation, and they're going to be playing in an AFC South that is not going to be that strong. So if they could put up a gaudy record, who's to say that they don't have home field advantage? Like, I see paths for them to make some real noise in this postseason. Mm-hmm. They definitely should be considered one of the top teams in AFC.
I guess, like, what's the difference next year until you see it, right? Yeah, everyone takes a step forward and maybe a better offensive coordinator. I mean, there were times, I remember, was it the Christmas game? I can't remember now, where, like, Mina Kimes, you know, who's sitting up there as one of the halftime, like, commentators, was just, like, out of her mind that CJ Stroud, I think, got sacked on an RPO. Like, it just, things that were, it was just a mess. But anyway, why would you think, really, it could be any different if they have to go on the road in the second round and go to Baltimore again, where they got waxed?
Well, to be honest.
Or go to Buffalo, or go to,
I thought they played KC pretty tough.
I agree. I was going to say the same thing. I thought they went to Kansas City
in that game.
They
took no offense.
Absolutely. The offense couldn't do anything. I thought the defense really made it very difficult on Patrick Mahomes. In some way, it kind of was like a precursor to the Eagles game, right? Like, he was kind of running for his life a little bit. It wasn't as obviously dominant, but I think you maybe saw the beginnings of what was going to be the end for the Chiefs in watching what the Texans were able to do to them, getting after the pass rusher. So if they fixed the offense, it's not like they don't got talent. I mean, you know, they got really good receivers. We got to figure out what's going on with Joe Mixon. But if Nick Chubb comes back and he's anything close to what he used to be, this is a dangerous team.
Why do you think the value there is so big in Vegas? If you go by the sports book, I was looking at DraftKings, says I'm tied, same odds to win the conference and the Super Bowl as the Pittsburgh Steelers, which many people outside of Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers do not believe they're Super Bowl contenders.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, I mean, I would not bet the Steelers at DraftKings because I'm seeing them. They're 45-1 on FanDuel. They're 40-1 on Caesars. You get the Texans are 25-1 on FanDuel. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but maybe there's more action coming in against the Texans. Here's my bottom line. I trust CJ Stroud a lot. I think, too, we're not even bringing him into this conversation. I think he could be a great, great quarterback. So that really is the only reason I'm picking them here. I do think they were number four in defense last year, and they should probably, they have no reason not to be top three. Last year, the number one defense, the Eagles, won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that is another reason. The number one defense is in the mix. And if they can, and they definitely have the talent, both the incredible secondary, arguably the best secondary in the league, and a vicious, vicious pass rush, kind of feels like all the right elements.
You can tell us, 888-710-4ISN, are people wrongly sleeping on the Houston Texans as a Super Bowl contender?
Be nice, by the way. It has to lay out right where your Bills lose to their kryptonite, the Chiefs. Take the Bills out. And then get the Chiefs again. I like the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs have owned the final rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They beat each other up somehow, and then the Texans get a lane where they go right in.
Texans beat the Bills last year in the regular season in Houston, and before C.J. Stroud got there, one of Josh Allen's worst playoff losses to date was a very young Josh Allen in Houston against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, but to be honest, their game will probably be in Buffalo because Buffalo's gifted all those wins in the AFC East.
Yeah, it's like Houston's not gifted wins in the AFC South.
But, I mean, it's not like the Jets, Dolphins, Patriots. I think it's a little easier now. You said the Texans have a hard schedule. I mean, who's Buffalo?
No, but I'm just saying that the Houston is playing in a division where one of the teams they play against is coming off having the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Literally worst team in the league.
So, I think you could have a solid debate who's the worst division. I mean, traditionally, though, the AFC East has been just awful.
Yeah, Bills are taking advantage, no doubt. Patriots did it for two decades. Let's get to the other football team in the state of Texas, the Cowboys. All right, Pearl. Even though Brian Schottenheimer, the new head coach, has been around the league forever, and his dad is was a very famous coach, may he rest in peace, we've never really seen Shotty in the big chair. Yesterday in Oxnard, California, after some fighting happening in training camp amongst themselves, Shotty said, "Win sprints for everybody, including the coaching staff." Kind of an old school move, Pearl. Do you like this from Schottenheimer, or does it look like eyewash when you're making grown men and coaches run gassers?
Yeah, I think it's eyewash. You know, there's other teams too. I saw Matt LaFleur has been killing his team for fighting. I don't know. I want them to fight, right? Like I'm old school. I just feel like he's trying to make an impact and have his voice be heard. But the reality is, I don't trust in the long run Brian Schottenheimer's voice is going to be heard in Dallas. So in this particular situation, it's not convincing me of anything.
I never understand why coaches do this kind of, professional coaches, why they do this kind of stuff. I don't think it makes your team tougher. I don't think that it gets the message through to the veterans. And to be honest, like making your team and your coaches run wind sprints if they're fighting, I would be more concerned if my team had zero training camp fights. I'm being honest. Like, I'm not advocating for people to fight, like, in real life, but those training camp scuffles, I think, shows that your team is locked in, dialed in. If you are not fighting in training camp, if everyone's just like, oh, yeah, my bad, you're good, this, that, like, do you care? Are you fighting for anything? Like, training camp fights, again, nobody wants, like, someone ripping a helmet off, like Aaron Donald style when they, what was that? It was a joint practice,
yeah.
And he, like, hit somebody with a helmet. I don't want it to get over the top, but you got to have a couple training camp fights. It shows that guys care.
Look, the Maggie and Perloff show just got super violent in the last 3 minutes. Yeah, I totally agree. Although, I wonder if a team like the Eagles or the Chiefs, who's already established, they probably don't need fights.
I would manufacture some. Like, I would get, because there's always something to play for, and there's always some guy or guys who should have a chip on their shoulder, even if you're the Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, but the Eagles love each other. Like, the defense and the offense are chummy as all get out. You can see it all the time. No, but that being said, I don't love training camp fights, but I would definitely do them. The thing about making guys run a lap. Let Green Bay, there was this story about a guy who had to run, and then his teammates followed him around. Is it that hard to run a lap around a football field? That's my only question.
Well, yeah, that's the other part. It's like... Yeah, it's like if you punish your kid by giving them a timeout for 5 minutes, yeah. But then after they're done, they get, ice cream for everybody. Did you really send a message? I don't know.
And obviously, the reason behind these fights is very obvious. Humidity.
Yeah, it's so hot.
I saw a clip from Cincinnati's practice the other day. People were melting. They were melting on camera. Of course you're going to fight when it's humid out. That's how human nature.
It's a cowboy quickie.
If all practices were indoors, there would definitely be less fights.
What is going on in Cincinnati? So 2 days ago, you had Shohei Ohtani had to leave his start because he was cramping up because of the humidity.
Then what a disgrace.
Yesterday, that game was in Cincinnati with the eight runs. 8 runs scored in the top of the inning. 8 runs scored in the bottom of the inning. And now Perloff said people's faces are melting off.
I guess the ball carries in that kind of weather.
Well, and also that park is a bandbox. But yeah. Something's happening in Cincinnati. It's like the vortex. I'm not sure.
What you guys, like, are we doing, man?
Is this eyewash? There's actually a famous Jets moment. I know EJ remembers where when Brett Favre first came to the Jets and he and Nick Mangold fumbled a center quarterback exchange and they were forced to run a lap.
Brett Favre.
And it was so dumb. And that was Eric Mangini, and he's obviously no longer coaching. I don't think because of that. But do you like the running a lap?
I mean, I hated it the 1 year I played freshman football. I was like, this is stupid. But it's not like it's not a punishment because it is so freaking hot. And you just want to do whatever you're being asked to do. Ain't doing anything extra is annoying. So I think it is something. I don't think it's like nothing for the players. I think people don't want to run a lap. They don't have to. I'm against the fighting thing, though. I just
really?
Maybe it's the Jets thing, too, but I remember 2012. Remember the Jets had, like, a historic number of fights in training camp?
Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets.
It was so bad that Rex Ryan had to actually say, hey, like, we're getting out of control. Cut it out. And then they had a terrible
wink, wink.
But then they had a terrible season. 2012 was awful. Like,
I can't think the team stunk.
No, but I can't think of the great teams. Like Perloff mentioned, though, like who are the great teams where they're fighting all the time in practice, like all the time. Like,
I think Aaron Donald was fighting people, maybe joint practices, but even fighting his own team. I think Aaron Donald was getting in people's faces.
I can't imagine that. Because who on earth would fight Aaron Donald if you actually saw him with his shirt off in the locker room? Like, I think he would be get an all-time pass.
Aaron Donald versus 100 gorillas. I'm taking Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Do you remember that story that Matthew Stafford told about Aaron Donald? Now we're just on an Aaron Donald thing. But do you remember the story he told that's worth retelling about how, like, Aaron Donald's working out in the weight room and the Rams were hosting, like, a kid who was like a...
Yes.
It was like a Make-A-Wish or something like that.
Yeah, and he worked out with
him. And he worked out them to make... And he puked.
Yeah. Why
like,
not?
He couldn't even take it easy, you know, on the...
Well, you see what Jared
like, want to lift like Aaron Donald, which I'm sure made this kid's life.
Better,
awesome.
Better press these 100-pound dumbbells, kid.
You see what Jared Verse said? Because Jared Verse, all offseason, one of his big things, we kept putting these videos out, being like, I'm challenging Aaron Donald to invite me to one of his workouts. And I guess apparently he went recently before training camp, and he said, I'm telling you, he's a psychopath. I needed, like, another offseason to get on that. It was so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's retired. He's still working out like that?
Yeah. And this
for
is like.
What? What are you training for?
This is Jared Verse, who's like a rookie, a second year player in the prime of his athletic peak. And he is working out with a retired Aaron Donald, being like, that was too much. I'm not doing that again.
He's doing it for himself, Maggie.
No, he's doing it for Instagram. Aaron Donald loves putting up stuff on.
For himself. Okay.
He gets these two dumbbells that both weigh 100 pounds and just throws them around like a kid's toy. It's amazing.
So does he have some kind of like business that he's trying to promote?
Yeah, it's called the business of being a badass.
Okay, but I mean, are you coming back? Like, is that what you're doing this, or it's just for your mental health? Well, like, what are you
start
still
a rumor,
working
Aaron
out
Donald?
Like this? I don't know.
Well, I mean, listen, people go to the gym.
Yeah, people are like 60 years old going to the gym, pumping iron.
No, it's great. Keep yourself in shape, but to the point where a young and up-and-coming pass rusher who is like in their athletic peak is like, that's too much for me.
Can you imagine if...
You do like yoga and stuff.
Can you imagine if Arnold Schwarzenegger had that type of mentality?
Well, he's got to...
Go Chargers, go!
He's got to keep the muscles for the camera.
I just think
that's
some...
what Aaron Donald's doing.
For what, his acting career?
For Instagram.
Oh, I'm sorry. For the gram.
For the thirst traps, Mags.
I mean...
I think there are some guys who just are always going to be physically peak. Like...
James Harrison or something.
Herschel Walker was like that for a long time. Like Herschel Walker was
he did a whole second career doing MMA.
Right, exactly. But there's some guys I think that they're just like athletic freaks, and they're always going to be workout guys, guys who can always jump faster, bench press more than most people. I think Aaron Donald's in that class.
Be honest, if you retired, what would you be your strategy?
Come on, man.
You're still working out?
Yeah, I mean, everybody works. Why would you not work out? You're shredded. Like, you don't want to lose that. By the way, I saw a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger lately. He's lost it a little bit.
Well, is he 70?
Yeah. No, he, well, even so, but he had the greatest old man body ever. And he's kind of let it go lately. I'm sorry.
Can't take steroids forever.
Hold on one second. I just looked this up. Guess how old Arnold Schwarzenegger is?
80? 72.
He's 78.
Yeah.
Holy moly. That dude's old.
I mean, maybe in a few years he could be president.
No, he's not born here. He can't. It's against the rules.
I know.
But here's the thing. You just body shamed a 78-year-old.
Well, he's Arnold. I saw a documentary recently where Arnold turned 70, and it was like, to do this, I'm going to bench 500 pounds and squat 700 pounds. He kept it going for a long time. I think Aaron Donald will too, but I like your rumor. Let's start this.
Well, why didn't he come back last year when they could have used him against the Eagles?
You never know. He's only 34. He could come back in 2 years. I mean, Von Miller is still getting paid, and he's way older than that.
And way less productive.
No.
I kind of always, not always, I don't want to say like I'm always, but I've always suspected that he would come back at some point.
Donald.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think so. It doesn't seem like he has, you know, based on his personality, he has the need. Feels like he's totally content.
But I think he likes to compete.
Clearly.
I mean, yeah, he's bringing Jared Verse. Like, these workouts have been like this, like, historic thing for him. Like, he may come back and be like, oh, that was a mistake, I shouldn't have done that, but I could see him trying.
He competes against his personal record every day. That's what he does.
That's just like him versus him. Can I bring up something from you brought up yesterday? I know we got to go to break, but you were we're talking about the Hall of Fame game and how they always interview the inductees. And you were like, oh, everyone always lets themselves go. The guys last night looked great. Sterling Sharp looked like he is exactly the same. Well, I mean, not exactly the same, but he looks the same as he did on TV all those years.
Yeah, we didn't have Revis Island.
Jared Allen looks amazing.
Yeah.
He looks the same. He looks slimmer. And I thought Antonio Gates looked great.
I didn't get a full body shot at Gates.
This guy, what a tough critic. Andrew Perloff.
Yeah, I don't know. They look fine.
I thought they looked good.
Yeah,
it's by the entire football.
Eric Allen looks amazing.
Eric Allen looks incredible.
Eric Allen, look, that's a guy who looks like he could play right now. Well, let me ask you this question. Is this the least exciting Hall of Fame class in the last whatever? Like, why aren't there more big names going?
Yeah, I don't know.
It just happened. Why did Eli not make this class?
You think Eli would have jazzed this up?
Oh, big time. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
This would have been his first ballot, right?
Yeah.
I think anyone under 30 would have heard of Eli. I don't think anybody.
Oh, come on.
No, break down that touchdown.
Sterling Sharp retired a long time ago. I don't think
Sterling also made it on his 26th year of eligibility or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, and people remember Jared Allen and Antonio Gates. They were just playing.
Not really. When did Jared Allen retire?
Right after they played in the Super Bowl.
He's not first ballot, is he?
No, he fifth year. So I guess it's been 10 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's been right. He's been gone for a while.
No, because you only have to wait 5 years, and then it's another five.
2015, he played with Carolina.
Yeah. Damn.
He said it was a terrible mistake. I remember that.
By the way.
Made to the Super Bowl.
Well, Aaron Donald almost retired the year before he retired, too. So he's been wanting out. He's a freak.
This started with a question of the Texans being wrongly ignored in Super Bowl talk. Somehow got to Aaron Donald's workouts, but that's our show for you. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, college football. Let's get into it. Training camps opening up all around the country, and one big preseason poll caught our eye. We'll do that next.
This NASCAR race preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. All right, Manny, what are we watching this weekend?
All right, Pearl, the NASCAR Cup Series rolls on this weekend. It's the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol from Iowa Speedway. A couple of notes from last week. At the Brickyard, you had Ty Gibbs beat out Ty Dillon in the in-season tournament to win the $1 million prize. Plus, you had Bubba Wallace, driver of the 23 Toyota for 2311 Racing. He won a Cup Series race for the first time since 2022. Can Bubba go back-to-back? It's the Iowa Corn 350, powered by ethanol from Iowa Speedway. Green flag waves on Sunday, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 local.
And you can confirm they're all using ethanol in their gas tanks?
That's a little secret between NASCAR and I.
Thank you, Manny Tires. We will get to Clemson in just a moment, but Andrew Bogish has all the latest headlines. What's up?
Guys, hello again. It is a bad morning for the Trey Lance is the biggest bust ever crowd.
Nyheim Miller-Hines in motion to the right pocket of Lance. Looking left, throwing, and there's Lambert Smith. Caught, touchdown, Chargers! Keandre Lambert Smith on the quick slant, put his foot in the ground, got upfield. And there was that 4.37 speed for a score.
Who cares how fast he is? The headline's Trey Lance, two touchdown passes, 13-20, 120 yards overall, fueling the Chargers' 34-7 rout of the Lions in Canton last night.
Football.
Post-game, Justin Herbert declined to answer questions about his job security.
Can I use this moment to flame the Cowboys? Because isn't that what everyone likes to do?
Yeah.
Football!
Lance played against these Chargers and threw five picks playing for the Cowboys last year in preseason. The Chargers saw that, picked him up,
pick
and he plays
up
for the Cowboys. Yeah. He plays for the Chargers, and he looks great in preseason now.
Figure it out.
To be fair to the Cowboys, they did get Joe Milton.
Well, Joe Milton's met the man, so.
Yeah. Like, they have the most exciting backup quarterback in the league.
But so, what the hell? Like, why do he look so good just 1 year later? The Chargers picked him off five times and say, no, we can make that guy work. And now he looks great playing for them.
Okay, can I go devil's advocate here to back up the Cowboys? He did have the whole season to learn under Mike McCarthy. Wait, was he at the Cowboys for two seasons? No, just one, right?
Might
have been two seasons. He had the whole season to learn, sit and learn. So what do you look like at the beginning? Maybe not what he looked like at the end. Like, he used that year with the Cowboys to now you're seeing the fruits of the labor.
And he was playing against non-NFL defenders last night.
Well,
was not an NFL defender playing for the Chargers last year, too, in the first preseason game.
There might have been more in that game than there were last night. I don't know. This game in particular, you can take, in my estimation, you can take nothing out of.
Yeah, the Lions defensive guys look like they were. they look like they were getting turned around pretty easily.
Yeah, actually, we saw more.
Nice touch on the ball.
We saw more real players than usual last night, which was weird.
Well, Nyheim Hines is like an actual guy.
Yeah.
Marion Hampton had five snaps.
Yeah, I know. That was strange. I did not think he was going to be out there. When is a first rounder playing the Hall of Fame game?
Never.
And who was the one veteran safety that Tarico was like a gas?
Oh, Tony Jefferson.
Yeah, Tony Jefferson.
I saw that. I was like, wait a minute. Tony Jefferson.
Didn't he have an interception in the end zone?
He's like been around for a long time.
Yeah, they said he was like his 14th year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Actually, I think he retired to become a coach and then came out of retirement.
So he reset his clock. Now he's a newbie. Now he has to play in this game.
Yeah, I think he was training to be a scout.
What do you think the conversation was with Jim Harbaugh? Says, listen, Tony, we're going to get you some, get you a quarter or so playing in this game. What do you think was going on in his head as a 14-year vet being told you're playing in the Hall of Fame game?
Why?
Yeah, like, are you trying to hurt me? Like, I don't know.
I would have retired right on the spot. I'm like, you know what? I'm good.
Terry McLaurin reportedly asking for a trade now, still far from an extension with the Commanders. He ended his holdout on Sunday, avoiding that daily $50,000 fine, but it's just
the Commanders
watching practice because of an apparent ankle injury. A baseball trivia question for you guys, courtesy of this swing from Cal Raleigh.
Here's the pitch to Cal, swinging a high drive deep to right field. Garcia going back to the warning track, to the wall. Goodbye, baseball! More history for Cal Raleigh. His 42nd home run of the year. He has now hit more home runs by a switch-hitting catcher in Major League history.
All right, so which switch-hitting catcher did Cal Raleigh pass with homer number 42?
I know this.
If you know it,
I know it because I heard it yesterday.
Okay. I'd like Manny to go first.
Jason Kendall.
Not a switch hitter.
Yeah,
that's... And maybe had 42 career home runs.
I was going to say.
Not a power hitter, really.
One, like that.
Really fast, though.
Terrible broken ankle.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh, so, Carlos Correa, then.
Not a catcher. What's or a switch
Salvador
hitter.
Perez is not, obviously.
No,
a
he's a righty.
Hitter.
Yeah. He played in captain? The 90s, mostly.
I think I know the answer, but I feel like I might be wrong.
This is a well-known baseball player.
This is how trivia goes. I know.
Here's a clue. Well-known around here.
Yeah, I think I know who it is.
Oh, no wonder you guys. Okay.
I definitely know who it is.
So it's Posada?
It's Todd Hundley.
Todd Hundley?
Of the Mets.
Yeah.
In one season.
Yeah.
Or he hit 41 in 1996.
I'd be shocked if Posada hit more than 35
Todd Hundley hit 41 home runs in 1996?
Yes.
Wow. Score one for EJ.
And just... That should be the end of the story. No one else looked into anything.
Did he ever come close to? Was that his career high by a mile?
You said Snoop Huntley?
yes, it was Snoop Huntley.
You know, he followed it up the next year and hit 30.
Yeah, he was pretty good for the Mets.
What year was this?
Yeah, what a
96, 97. And that's the end of the story. We're not saying anything else about that.
What happened
in
2000?
I have no idea if Todd Huntley was doing anything, but.
Perloff thinks he was, though.
Perloff thinks everybody is.
Well, you just look at if I look at a guy's stats and he has a career high by 20 homers in 1997, I'm going to think twice. I don't know for sure. Anything,
he was always a power hitter.
Yeah, he was a power hitter.
But to be fair to Hundley too,
flash the pan a little bit.
He also played the more games that year, those 2 years, than he ever did in his career. 153, 132. So he never really had opportunities to play that much.
Catch 153
games.
Guys, who was the backup, Manny?
This 96 Mets, they could not have been very good.
I was going to say, that's when they actually had two managers that year, both Dallas Green and Bobby Valentine.
Oh, the good old days.
Yep.
Let me just read you some Todd Hundley numbers, please. And you're God, not please. Suspicious of this man.
Here's what I love. I'm well aware of Todd Hundley. Pearl is just meeting him in 2025.
Oh, I see. He didn't play. But he had no, right. Okay. He 11 homers, 16 homers, 15 homers, 41, 30. And then
15 to 41 right, home runs.
The years
injuries.
He had 16 to 15. He got hurt. He was an injury prone guy.
Yes.
He was a star, and then he got hurt again, and that's when they went for Piazza.
I don't know. That's a high. That's a high jump in the 90s.
Well,
for baseball.
No. Maybe the other thing, you said slugger in 1997. So anyone who's not suspicious, be crazy, right?
We talked the other day about like social media
etiquette,
faux pas. Stuff like that, like when you like somebody's post and you realize they just put it up 25 seconds ago and you look really thirsty and how, you know, cringy that is. Can we also eliminate the fake news I saw yesterday where somebody reports, so-and-so just got traded to this team and they asked for to unretire a number? Do you see that fake story that went around yesterday?
Yeah, I did not. Cedric Mullins got traded to the Mets, and somebody posted that he asked for 31 to be unretired, which is Piazza's number.
Yes, and people took it as real that Cedric Mullins somehow they were going to unretire Mike Piazza's number for Cedric Mullins. Like, that's not a real story, but people went with it, and then the person who posted as a joke is like retweeting all the people who fell for it.
Yeah, I hate those.
Get a new bit.
I hate those folks. Like, I had a big argument with someone who works at Rami, who worked on the show, who loves these, like, you know, parody fake reports. Because he says,
How do you love those?
He says everyone should know that they're fake and that this is obviously funny. And I'm like, I don't find them funny.
We're full of morons. People are not going to know what's real and what's not.
And then he says it's funny that people then don't see that it's obviously fake.
I don't know.
I don't get Rami's humor. Me and him do not compute. But be honest, you know what's worse than a fake story from like a fake reporter or parody is like a real place like Fox Sports posting that Joe Ryan got traded to the Red Sox yesterday. And you had all these Yankee fans losing their minds. I saw Josie McFly was like cursing and throwing stuff because he thought that the Red Sox just got a star pitcher. And it was just a fake. The tweet was just wrong. They said it was posted by John Morosi. I don't know.
Oh, it was a straight up just fake.
Just wrong.
Attributing it to John Morosi, putting a Fox thing on it, and it's just not true.
Picture Joe Ryan is going to the Red Sox, and it just was flat out wrong. Like, I don't know how that happens. I don't know if this was a saved tweet that shouldn't have gone out. But
Fox just made a journalistic error?
Yes.
Fox, I thought it was just a full parody account just trying to catch people.
No, this was a Fox Sports account, like a real Fox Sports account that posted that the Twins had traded Ryan to the Red Sox. And again, graphic, everything, Ryan traded. His picture is there.
Well, maybe Morosi got some bad intel.
But it wasn't. Oof. But Morosi, does he work for Fox? I don't think he does.
Oh, that's a good
point.
That's
what I'm saying. I think they just...
He was on MLB Network yesterday. He's one of those guys that has like eight different affiliations, so he might every once in a while end up on Fox, but I feel like he reports for MLB.com.
Okay, so this is a larger question because, you know, the newsbreakers, Adam Schefter, when Woj used to do this, Shams Charania, where we get a lot of our news.
Tweet notifications.
But what's the value? Like, not just this one, but like, really, what's, like, a lot of times it's, you know, they have reports that are going to come out 45 seconds later in a press release from the team themselves. Like, what's the value of John Heyman getting that 35 seconds before Bob Nightingale?
Oh, yeah. I
don't get the insider.
Because totally
those are the highest paid people in our industry for the most part.
That's journalism, baby.
Well, it's the ability to find out something that would not have come out otherwise. That's valuable.
No, that could be valuable. Yes. But that's not what a lot of this is. I beat you by 20 seconds to something that is just going to happen anyway. We'll all find out in an hour.
Ego's a journalist of journalists, I guess. I mean, you want to have the story first, so that's why you send out the tweet.
But okay.
Isn't it all intertwined? Isn't it all, we're all doing favors and earning access, and I'll post this for you now if you give me this heads up
later. Yeah, I feel like that might be the argument.
Those are the trade-offs.
That if John Heyman can break this by 30 seconds, that means he's more likely to find out something that no one else knows.
Okay, I think what the real value is the rumor.
Can't even believe it!
Like, Adam Schefter rumors or the Cowboys are far apart with Micah Parsons is far more valuable to a network trying to fill 24 hours of content than the actual details of the contract.
But does he have to do the other thing to establish credibility to do the other things? I mean, I think it might be all connected.
He makes $10 million a year. He works hard. I'm not saying he doesn't, but it's a lot of money.
Yeah, but we also know, like, the teams will use reporters. They'll plan things with them. Like, at the trade deadline, I don't know if it's in the movie. It's definitely in the book where the A's use Peter Gammons
to put
things out to stir conversation.
Sure.
So then that favor by Gammons gets him then the 30-minute head start on a trade
team. Stirring the conversation, that's valuable, I think. The actual getting the details of it 5 seconds before someone else does not seem valuable to me. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's all got to happen. Anyway,
it establishes credibility. Yeah. By the way, can I just backtrack a little bit here? Another thing that made me suspicious of Todd Hundley is everything that was about him in the Mitchell report about taking steroids.
There it is.
Wait, what?
There it is.
Yeah, he's in the Mitchell report. Kirk Randopsky said that he took Decadurbilin and testosterone, and that was confirmed by another source. So that's making me suspicious.
Yeah, to be fair, they weren't even testing for it back then.
Sorry to your childhood Mets fandom, but it did look like Todd Hundley might have gotten some help that year.
But again, Maggie's been saying, don't look any further. Like, we were aware of
this. Yes, I said, please don't do any more investigating. Yeah.
He was one of those guys who never had
96 and 97, and that's it.
He was a big, top three jersey buttons undone guy, too, which is I love that.
Oh my God! I saw a clip. It's my favorite clip of the 90s, 2000s baseball. Jose Canseco playing for the Yankees. And the announcer's like, look at this guy. He looks like a superhero, like the Silver Surfer. And then he uncorks a home run that I think is still going somewhere. I mean, this ball was so far in the old Yankee Stadium. You could not picture, like, write this better. Like, the announcer's like, look at him. He looks like a superhero. And
it's all natural.
Can you imagine? I feel like if you had allowed Jose Canseco to play with no shirt on, he would have done it.
Of course. Oh,
definitely.
So Aaron Donald as well.
Yeah. Should they make that optional?
That's called the Lingerie Football League.
We did
How about something for the women, then? I mean, let's be equal opportunity.
Savannah Bananas, apparently.
Captain of that team be J.R. Smith. I mean, that guy, oh, yeah. Did he ever once wear a shirt off in winter?
Obama even mentioned it at their parade. He's like, I think J.R. Smith still doesn't have a shirt.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Now he only puts on a shirt at golf. That's all he does now.
Oh, that'd be hilarious if he was golfing with no shirt on. You know, everything else proper, pants, belt.
I'm not sure that golf career went where we thought it was going to go. How did he do? Oh, I know he started, joined a golf team, but I don't
college right. Golf team.
Yeah, like North Carolina A&T.
Yeah, North Carolina A&T. You mean to tell me that you're shocked that his golf career didn't take off because he
where
was an
it
Aggie?
Supposed to go?
Yeah, I just don't think he's...
to the PGA Tour?
No, I just don't think he was that great at North Carolina A&T. We got to double check this.
Manny, what's the home course?
He's apparently still on their roster.
He's still got
Aggie
eligibility.
Court. Yeah, he's a 50-year. He's a 50-year eligibility guy. I guess he's a COVID year.
COVID
guy.
Year.
What's his NIL payout?
I don't know, but he has a picture. He has like a whole headshot on the team. He looks so old too, compared to everyone else on the team. It's so funny.
That's Earl also Smith. Some hard living.
Earl Smith, baby.
Do you think that he could join the LIV Tour?
How about the Corn Ferry Tour?
Maybe that.
They should
Liv will pay you way more.
They should hire him or sign him just for the story, right?
Be the commissioner?
Yeah, or don't let him golf. Like, let him have a terrible year. Like, let Jordan play baseball. Let J.R. Smith golf in the Liv Tour.
I don't know. What's the Saudis' position on weed? Might not be as liberal as what we do over here.
That's very true.
All right, folks. That's where we got to keep it. Leave it, rather. We got lots to do, including, excited to talk about what a successful season would look like for these four NFL teams. And we've got some Clemson football updates for you to scratch that college itch. Do that next.
Go Bills.
Teased it before. Let's talk a little about Clemson. Clemson Tigers, Pearl. If you look at the preseason all ACC award, is it an award? It's like a designation?
It's kind of a prediction, right? Like prediction. Their preseason poll.
It's all Clemson Tigers. The whole thing.
Yeah, it's their depth chart, basically.
It is. There are major, major expectations for Clemson this year. It starts with Kate Klubnik, but to me, their quarterback, to me, this is actually Clemson in a perfect spot. And we saw Clemson before, Pro, when they went from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence. They were right there with the biggest programs in the SEC, beating them, and the Big Ten, beating them, and becoming this powerhouse that Clemson had not traditionally been. And I think they're about to be set up for another run. Can I tell you why?
Yeah, I'd
everyone
like to hear it.
Clowned Dabo Sweeney because he would never use the transfer portal. Well, he is using the portal now. They do have money to spend. And I think it would be very appealing for a player to play at Clemson because your regular season may not be as crazy as if you're playing at Texas or Alabama, but yet you are going to be playing in the college football playoff. You're going to have that postseason exposure, and you might get a good draw. I think that Clemson is about to go on another run like we saw Dabo do with Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, they are using the transfer portal, but not as much as other schools. Let me ask you a question. Like, what happens after Cade Klubnik goes away?
They get another quarterback.
In the transfer portal?
Well, maybe. Maybe they recruit a guy out of high school. Like, that's still... Recruiting out of high school still matters.
But then you'll be every 3 years, every 4. Because then you got to wait till that guy gets older. So I don't think they're going to be able to go on a run like they did. Because they were there every year for a little while. I think they will be more cyclical if they have to develop quarterbacks. Because look at Ohio State. Like, they're just bringing a new guy every year, basically. Right. Maybe Julian Sayin sticks a little longer. But it feels like, unfortunately, for college football, the bringing in the new guy every year, old quarterback, is the way to go. I feel like we're not going to see a lot of high school recruits winning championships on their first team. So that's why I think Clemson might, they're loaded this year, but is this sustainable? I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess my question would be, the more you get into the college football playoff and the more success you have, the more attractive you become, obviously, to these big-time quarterback, whether it's transfer or whether it's five stars. So why would Clemson be any different? And you could play this ACC schedule.
Because I don't think they're going to bring in a fifth year. I don't think they'll bring in an older guy.
They're just scratching the surface now on the transfer portal. And, okay. You know, to be honest, like I know Dabo got a ton of heat for this, and he got from his own fan base, and why aren't you in the transfer portal? And they are in there way more now than they were. But, you know, there's something about some of these transfer portal teams that it's not exactly working out for them either, right? Like, Ole Miss did a huge transfer portal team. It was supposed to be, like, the best team that they had. Couldn't make the college football playoff.
Pretty good, though.
They were pretty good, but they didn't make the college football playoff, and Clemson did.
Well, I know, because Clemson beat SMU in the ACC title game and was a 12 seed, and it wasn't exactly a show of strength last year.
I'm just saying, though, like, you...
I mean, Ole Miss could have done that if they were in the ACC. And Ole Miss probably should have been in...
Well, this is what I'm saying. I think this is why it's attractive to go to Clemson, because you can go to Ole Miss and you can be in, you can play for Lane Kiffin. That's fine, but good luck with that gauntlet of an SEC schedule when I can go play for a premier program and with Dabo and, you know, and play an ACC schedule and still make the playoff is what I'm saying.
I totally agree with that point, but what's that have to do with the transfer portal? You're saying Ole Miss is not going to be regularly in the playoffs because the SEC is too hard, not because they use the transfer portal.
No, I'm saying I kind of back up Dabo here. Some of the teams that just go all transfer portal, like it doesn't actually mean you're having success immediately. You know, people love to say Ohio State, that was an all transfer portal team. No, it wasn't. That was a transfer portal.
People don't say that, but
they had a high profile quarterback.
They do a new quarterback every year.
But those guys all decided to come back together collectively, besides like a Caleb Downs, I guess, but like they had a core of guys who decided to come back, just like Michigan the year before.
But again, and it took them a long time. They needed basically for those defensive guys to get old. I feel like Clemson, I don't think he's going to want to be a heavy portal guy because I think Dabo thinks it interferes with his ability to coach. And to generally, I don't care. I know they've added some players this year. I don't think he's ever going to be all in. And again, who's going to be the quarterback next year? Say there's a big-name quarterback. Is Dabo really going to compete financially for that guy? I don't think he's going to be comfortable with that.
Well, you wouldn't have said 3 years ago that he would take anybody from the transfer portal, and he's doing that now. And so, and I think it just having your quarterback out of the portal, I don't think that means you're like, it's the most high-profile position. I understand that. But I don't think that means now all of a sudden you're a portal team. You're not Colorado with Deion that's like, you know, ushering out 30 and 40 guys every year.
But you do kind of need a portal guy, a quarterback. Three of the final four were transfer guys and older. You need older players to win. That's a reality. So that's what I worry about Clemson, that they're going to bring in big recruits and not be old enough to win on a consistent basis. But this year, everyone happens to be getting old. They're kind of like Ohio State last year.
This is a championship or bust season, it feels like, for Clemson. I mean, when you have this many, whether you're in the ACC or the SEC, if you have this many guys who are expected to dominate the conference, now again, they got to play the games, but if you have this many guys expected to be dominant in the conference, and you're going to have pretty favorable schedule, and you're going to get into the college football playoff, and you have Dabo Swinney, who has won two titles, I think you got to put the expectation at championship, at least championship game, Final Four.
We're not going to kill Clemson if they lost to Ohio State, for example, in the final game.
Right.
Yeah, I think a
Final
fair,
Four.
I think a deep run in the playoff is the expectation.
Good enough.
And I think it's good enough, but I think I agree with you. If they don't do that, that's definitely a disappointment.
Without a doubt. I mean, what's funny about these preseason ACC, all ACC team, all Clemson, not one player from Belichick's team.
That's not funny because it's North Carolina. The one that I looked at, I was like, where's SMU? I mean, SMU was the better team last year for the most part. But you're right, North Carolina. Doesn't that sound so Belichick, though? I'm going to go out and beat you with lesser players. I'm going to coach them up.
I know, but see, in the NFL, I think you can do that. I don't know. We're going to find out how much is about X's and O's or Jimmy's and Joe's because, you know, college is always thought to be, it's about your roster more than your coaching.
I feel like Belichick's going to be like, we're like Navy. We're just going to system this way to our lot of wins.
Coming up next, we are asking and answering one big question about a certain quarterback room that is beyond fascinating. Get to that next.
Rah, 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 football.